Hello, this is Rico Cavaglia of the Fearless Aging Podcast. And this is your Fearless Aging Podcast. And this episode is a really unique one and really very interesting one. So you're going to really want to stick around. It's entitled Solar Nutrition and Time Conscious Eating. So you're going to learn some little known information about the correct times to eat specific foods for better absorption and for healing. And again, this is really little known, but it's something that can be really helpful for you. And my guest is my longtime friend. His name is Adam Bergstrom. And Adam is an author, he's a speaker, a workshop leader, and a health and wellness advocate. And he was formerly known affectionately as the walking encyclopedia of health knowledge. But I had to update that, so now I call him the walking Wikipedia of health knowledge. So you're going to learn lots of new concepts and proven strategies that you most likely haven't heard of before that can make a big difference in your life, and particularly in nutrition. So welcome, Adam. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for inviting me, Rico. Good to be here.
Yes, really good to see you, and thanks very much for being here. So, as usual, always I like to start by just asking my guests to, just tell us a little bit about your journey, you know, how you got into the health field and began to acquire all this knowledge that you have now, and why you share it with people.
I got sick. And so I got interested in what was going on. This is a long time ago, back in the 60s, the early 60s. Mm-hmm. And the doctors were having trouble finding out what was wrong. And I kind of figured it out myself and started telling him what to do. And then after a while, I decided, you know, these doctors don't know as much as they tend to say they do. Now, you get a broken bone, something like that, they're handy to have around. But metabolic problems,
yeah,
long-term, forget it. They just won't excel at it at all.
That's right.
And medical theory keeps changing and changing. Anyway, I got interested in it, and I ended up managing four health food stores over sequential time. One of them only 1 week, so that doesn't really count, but it was a buddy of mine who had that store. And then I managed a vitamin department at a fifth. So I learned a lot about supplements. I met a Swami named Adonal Lay. We call them Swami Nitty Gritty. And he taught me about timing. The first time I really heard about chronobiology, circadian rhythms, all of that. And he taught me a different version, because if you look up chronobiology, you're going to find it has to do with all these genes, the time gene, the this gene, the that gene. And actually, that's very misleading. The whole thing took the wrong turn, because eventually it used to be about just timing of the environment and how it affected our body. But I think for the scientists, it was a little too much like astrology. So they had to put a gene in that we had this internal system that had already been set and didn't have that much to do with the environment anymore. So they kind of ruined it. But it does exist, and the environmental form I was taught, learned it well. And the growth pattern of plants, how they eat light at a certain time of day. A tree is obviously going to get the light earlier in the morning, the grass in the middle of the day, and the grains. And then you're going to get your roots are going to get the leftover infrared radiation that penetrates to 5 or 6 feet under the ground. And so this energy is used and utilized at certain times. And indeed, a very tall tree cannot photosynthesize after 12 noon if it's tall enough. So it shows us that there are differences in timing.
So the concept is that at certain times of the day, when certain foodstuffs receive solar energy, it's more bioavailable. It's more absorbable. Is that right into your system?
Much more, and much more utilizable. And in fact, that would just be abstruse information if it didn't affect us in some way. So how does it affect us? If I take a nap at 3 in the afternoon, I will lose 16 times more calcium through my urine if I go urinate than I would if I took that same nap 12 hours later in the middle of the night. We have a darkness conservation mechanism for certain minerals. Calcium is one of them, so that we can lie down at night and not lose all our calcium. While if you lie down during the day, you lose a lot more. That's why back in the day when I was sick, in hospitals, they kept you a longer time in bed. Then they realized you peed out all your calcium. Indeed, it happened to me. I started having all these muscle aches because I had peed all my calcium out. And finally, the doctor realized what had happened. And I just simply ate more calcium, got it back, and then learned its connection with timing at a later date.
So for people who don't really know about rhythms and biorhythms and circadian rhythms, talk a little bit about what they are and how they were discovered.
Well, they were discovered actually back in the time of the Greeks and things. They noticed that flowers opened at certain times. They noticed both yearly patterns too, but they noticed daily patterns. A Swedish botanist, Linnaeus, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, he had discovered a flower clock, that flowers open at certain times. Well, foods do their eating at certain times too. They absorb their sugar, they absorb the sunlight and close down and open up at certain times of the day. And basically, your trees are more active in the morning. Your bushes and vines and grains more active in the middle of the day, and your seafood under the water, they get infrared energy. Obviously, the light can't get down to a certain degree under the water. It can't get in the soil. So the so-called understory, like in the forest, gets activated later. And that has a difference in our body because we have a what's called geometric pattern, geometric body resonance. Our body looks like the environment. If you go from the rib cage up to the head, that requires morning type foods and a resonant geometry. What I mean by that is if you take a cymbal and hit a cymbal versus a gong at a gong, no matter how big the gong is or how small the gong is, you can tell it's a gong from a cymbal by the geometry. It makes a different type sound. Well, our body reflexes food in certain ways. So a lemon looks much like a breast. It has a nipple on it, and it turns out it's the best thing for the lymphatics. And what is a breast but an overgrown lymphatic gland? And look at the brain. It's what grows on a tree, a walnut and a pecan. They have the corrugations in them. They have the hard skull that you can tap, the exoskeleton on the outside. They have the very ingredients that the brain needs, like manganese and the essential oils for it. And it's all right there. And the sugar that the brain is powered on is most readily available in the fruits in the morning, like the peaches and the guavas and the mangoes and the pears and the apples and et cetera. So you'll notice that the body matches that. In the middle of the day, the vines match the intestines. If you look at the intestines, they're basically like vines. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at the nighttime roots, we even call our sexual organs roots by slang names.
Right.
And in the Chinese aphrodisiacs, guess what? Almost all of them are nighttime. They're either roots like ginseng and guai and all these other ones, maca. And in bird's nest soup, which is made out of seaweed, they make the nests like that. And of course, fish is a well-known sexual stimulant because we're made out of a sperm and an ovum when you think of it. So an egg is a nighttime food. A sardine is a nighttime food, and they're perfect for fertility to take a sardine and a sperm at circulation sex time from 7 to 9 at night. Now, what do I mean by circulation sex time? The Chinese, a long time ago, at least 600 or 700 years ago, and perhaps even a lot further back, they realized that there was a body clock of the meridians. The acupuncture meridians actually have validity. And lung time, they realized, was from 3 to 5 in the morning. Large intestine time from 5 to 7 in the morning. Stomach time from 7 to 9. Spleen pancreas time from 9 to 11.
Now, let me ask you, what do you mean by time? When you say it's liver time, what does that mean? Time for what?
They're most active. At that time,
they're most active.
That's okay. Why, years ago, a medical doctor, a friend of mine, they call him Doc out of the box now, showed me a booklet by the AMA, 135 pages, on why to take an asthma medicine in the morning, not realizing that lung time is 3 to 5 in the morning. And this very pamphlet said, you get more bang for your buck if you take that asthma medicine at 4 in the morning. Now, I would just recommend a person take coffee, which is well known, and they used to use coffee as an asthma drug. The caffeine or the theobromine or the theophylline worked as an asthma drug. Now they have fancier ones because they make more money, but the caffeine will work better than anything. Anyway, it's in the morning. It grows on a tree. It's a coffee tree, not a bush. It looks like a bush because they prune them and they take younger plants, but it's a tree. Look at the bronchial tree. You have a bronchial tree and a circulatory tree up in the lung area, and it reflexes to that area. The bottom, we have roots. The liver is actually a nighttime organ. To continue with that clock, by the way, small intestine time is 1 to 3. Bladder time, urinary bladder, is 3 to 5. Kidney time, 5 to 7. Circulation, sex time, notice circulation, sex time, 7 to 9 at night. And we're going to take a sardine and an egg at that time, circulation, sex time. Then you have thyroid time from 9 to 11, or triple heater time, as it's called in acupuncture. Then gallbladder time from 11 to 1, and liver time from 1 to 3. So the clock goes around. This can be looked up. You don't have, everybody who hears this doesn't have to remember it. They can go look it up in any acupuncture book, or at our website, solartiming.com, where you have all that information.
Yeah, I was going to point that out. Yeah, they can find that on your website and also in your book. What was it? Yes, No, Maybe, about chronobiology, right?
Yes, No, Maybe, chronobiotic nutrition. Yep.
Right, okay.
And we sell a bunch of, I think I have about 30 ebooks available out of there, a lot of them on time. The Sun Sync Nutrition Simplified, and When the Sun Sneezes, the Earth Catches a Cold. It's another one.
That's pretty cool. I also want to point out, just really even to help more simplify things, is the whole point of this is to realize that we are part of nature, right? And so, you know, we're not separate from nature. We're part of nature. So the more that we've learned and people have observed, like you've been talking about how nature works, and, you know, with the rhythms and the, when it gets light, when it gets dark, all these things have an effect. And they have an effect on us because we are a part of nature. So that's really where all this came from, you know, is that when we see how it affects plants and how they adapt, and animals and things adapt to the light and to the time of the day and the evening, it's the same for us because we're also part of nature. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Exactly. And our lighting and our lifestyles have interfered with that because we're basically diurnal or daytime creatures, not nocturnal like a bat.
Right.
At one time, medical doctors didn't think it had such a big effect on us, that we somehow, by being humans with our big brains, were getting around it. But now they realize it's a huge difference. It makes a difference in timing. Like, suppose I told you, hey, there's a great nightclub down the street, and why don't you go there? I said, and you said, well, they were closed when I get there. Well, when did you go there? 8 in the morning. Well, there's a nightclub. What are you doing there?
Yeah.
It's a great health food store. Okay, so you show up at midnight at the health food store. Hey, how come they were closed? Well, it's a health food store. They open in the morning. The same thing happens with our organs. They feed at particular times of day, and it's a very important difference. And to make it easy for people to understand, lung time builds at its time at 3 to 5 in the morning, and exactly 12 hours later, it goes to the bathroom. It cleanses. So at urinary bladder time, it cleanses. Now, why do cigarette smokers, get bladder cancer so often? Maybe there's a connection here. And indeed there is. You can cleanse the lungs. An asthmatic could take a melon, which is a vine, it grows on a vine, take it at urinary bladder time, and it targets the lungs better than you could take a lemon at lung time, which would also work. Anyway, you see how you can, the tree food feeds the lung, and the vine food feeds the bladder, and you get therapy on the lungs much faster and more efficiently than you did if you took a drug or a herb or a food willy-nilly.
Wow, that's just so interesting, and it makes so much sense. So basically what it is that foods that are grown on trees are most readily bioavailable in the mornings, right? And then at noon, foods that come up from the ground, like grains or big animals above the ground, are more bioavailable in the middle of the day. And then at night, things that are like root vegetables, things that are grown in the ground or on the ground or in the water are more bioavailable. Is that right?
Exactly. And we are what we eat, but we are what we ate too. So when would you take milk or a cow? A cow is going to graze on basically wheat and grains and things like that and flowers, whatever. That's midday foods. A fish is going to eat seaweed and things, which is a nighttime food. So what you eat, whatever it ate, that's what you target in, and it tends to follow that geometry. With a couple of exceptions, everything in life has a couple of exceptions.
Right.
For instance, let's take the cactus family to give an exception. It can't photosynthesize during the day. It'll kill the plant. So you can have a tall cactus plant and still eat it at nighttime because it's active at that time. It does its it does its work to process its photosynthesis at that time of night. And indeed, circulation sex time, 7 to 9, is when bats come and basically fertilize saguaro plants. It's all time when you really look at how nature is so timely.
So timely, yeah. So I know you've told me in the past, you've told me some, give us some examples of some people that you've helped. You know, I know you told me about people who, say you had a hard time digesting eggs if you ate them in the morning like most people do, but then when you try and eat them in the evening, then you had no problem. So tell me some of the people that have experienced some different things like that.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that people are really interested in nowadays is obesity and
right.
So the one thing about eating on time, since there's no storage, you're instantly processing the food. You can actually double and triple your calories and lose weight. And the first person I told that to said, "That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to stuff myself with food all week. And I'm even going to have a donut and at urinary bladder time, like you told me," which was just one of the offbeat things I told her. And so she stuffed herself for a week. And at the end of 1 week, she lost 7 pounds. And the after that, a lady came in the health food store and said, "What do you think of this protein powder?" And I said, "Not much." I said, "What do you mean not much? I've used this before." And I said, "How many times?" And she said, "I get what you're talking about." So she started eating the same way. 10 days later, she lost 10 pounds. And her boyfriend came back from his vacation and said, "Who are you? I don't even know who you are anymore." Came back from a business trip, rather. Yeah. So she became, anyway, there's a lot of cases like that of people losing weight. And if they don't lose weight, they're doing something wrong. They're just not following the time.
So give us, I know that's a big one for most people. Most people need to lose that excess body fat. So what is the basic protocol? Can you give us a basic idea of how you should eat if you need to reduce your body fat?
Well, basically, let's take, for example, what I eat in the morning. And we eat a little too pure. A lot of people are out there eating in restaurants so they can do it that way.
But right.
Like, for instance, we start with soaked almonds. We have some, we have a walnut, a single walnut. We have a single pecan. We have some cashews and pistachios and things like that. We had fruit, like we had peaches and plums and things like that this morning. And avocado, that's a tree fruit. So we had right. that. So you can have a hearty meal. And we had dates too. And we had olives. They all grow on trees. Now, if you were out in a restaurant, you would order something. It's harder to order morning foods in the morning, but you could have like prunes and rice, which is actually neutral. There are some grains that just don't seem to have a time function. Now, lunch is easy. If you go to a restaurant, you just simply have a hamburger, right? I mean, a hamburger has buns. That's a grain. The meat is a midday food. The lettuce is midday. The tomato on it's a midday. And so everything's mostly midday at many restaurants, including mm-hmm. Mexican restaurants, if you skip the guacamole. Mm-hmm. Now, we ate pure here. I had some raw cow cheese. I had some lentils, which are midday food. And I had cucumbers and a few things like that. And eating pure. At nighttime, you go and have a fish dinner or you go have a root dinner. We, tonight, in a little while, we'll have baked potatoes and we'll have it with some carrots and beets. And basically, eggs. That's eggs. Excuse me, I forgot the eggs. Two fried eggs.
Okay,
we,
so
we eat two eggs every evening. Not fried. Baked. Baked.
Okay. Egg. Okay. So that, so basically, again, so if you want to lose that excess body fat, it's just about eating the basic strategy of eating by the. By the sun, in other words, eat the right things in the morning, eat the right things at noon, eat the right things in the evening, and that's going to help you to reduce that excess body fat.
Yeah, if people re-listen to this, they'll notice that everything I mentioned in the morning grew on a tree, basically.
Right.
Everything in the middle of the day was either on a vine or a grass or a bush, and everything at night was pretty much a root. Also, some things that just barely stick out of the ground, like asparagus would be a nighttime plant, or watercress would be a nighttime plant.
Okay.
And the exception with the cactus family and with the pineapple family, which grows right on the ground,
right,
is actually a bromeliad. So tequila is a nighttime food, see, because it's an agave or a bromeliad. Right. Family.
So you're saying, so pineapple would be okay to eat in the evening then, huh?
It would be the evening. Now, in earlier books on time-controlled eating, they made the mistake and put the pineapple in the middle of the day because they didn't know that it metabolized differently. I don't want to confuse anything, because let me just give you a basic rule, is that anything that grows over 4 feet is a morning food. Everything between 4 inches and 4 feet is a midday food, and everything below 4 inches is nighttime. There are exceptions to the rule. If I do a what do you call it when the Orientals take a big tree and make it into a dwarf?
A bonsai.
That's it, bonsai. They take a bonsai plant. Now, the geometry is the same. It was designed to get sunlight at a certain time. So if I have those mini oranges off that, it's going to still target my lungs by geometry. But if I leave that bonsai on its own, it's not going to survive unless it starts to grow taller to get the sunlight for its own particular geometry. Mm-hmm. So those are exceptions to the rule, but you're going to get a few. And so even if you do this 80%, you don't have to be a fanatic about it and say, I don't know what when this is. When do I eat it? Learn later and just mix it in. 80% is all you need to lose weight, to gain health. And you don't lose structural weight, which a lot of diets, you lose structural weight. You lose residual weight. That's very important. I lost 10 pounds. I didn't even need to lose weight, but I lost 10 pounds. And then I put it back at the gym in the proper way with muscle instead of miscellaneous central obesity. Well, I never suffered from that. I was too much of a, you know, I turned sideways and stuck out my tongue and people thought I was a flipper.
Okay, so that's so good. Okay, so again, I think people, hopefully they got the interest and got the basic idea. But again, where can they find your books on this subject and information on your website?
SolarTiming.com.
At SolarTiming.com. And I remember that's really a nice website.
Yeah, it's like a magic mountain for the mind. You know, we have
all kinds of really, I like that.
Magic things, and we have videos. We have a lot of things and books for sale, information, photographs. It's a lot of fun.
Really good. So before we wrap up, we're just about done here. I think, it's also about time conscious living. So we'll have to have another just talking about time conscious living. But just mention a few things. You know, it's not only about nutrition, but it's also, you know, time conscious living. The things, you know, like it's important, you know, it helps to exercise at the right time and maybe have sex at the right time and even like say sleep at the right time. All those things are really important as well.
Very important. And I'll give people a hint. If your fertility is the highest at 3 to 5 in the afternoon, that's baby time. As for exercise, we'll save that for another time, but definitely There are specific times of the day that will build muscle, certain muscles, certain times of the day to bulk up, certain times to get ripped and shredded and cut, like they call it, mm-hmm. and certain times to do swimming exercises or do breathing exercises. Definitely, it's a whole subject in itself.
Right. Okay. We'll have to have, let's have you back again, and we'll just, we'll have that. We'll talk about just time conscious living, all the different things that how it can be, make a big difference in your life. Well, yeah. I think that's so, so fascinating and so interesting. And I know not many people even heard of it before. So I think that this is, can be really helpful for people. So for all your listeners out there, I highly recommend you go to Adam's website, solartiming.com, and you can learn more about it, pick up some of his books, and just give it a try. You know, as always, both Adam and I are the same. You know, we don't tell you this is exactly what you should do. We just say this is some ideas and things that we know have worked for other people, maybe for ourselves. Let's give it a try and see. That's the best way always. You know, it doesn't matter what studies are out there or what people or what hype is about or what people say. Just give it a try and see how it can work for you. And I think you'll find some real value here. So any last things you'd like to leave our listeners with, Adam?
Yeah, I was told the timing of the daily events of your life is the proof that creative consciousness is directing your existence, by my friend Swami Nitty Gritty. And I kind of like that.
So say that again.
The timing of the daily events of your life is the proof that creative consciousness is directing your existence.
Oh, yeah. I like that very much, too. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So good. All right, Adam, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I encourage you to go to solartiming.com and check out Adam's stuff. So thanks very much for listening. And as always, too, I want to remind you that I still have that special on my online wellness club. It's called Be Bold, Never Be Old. It's so for just $1, you can become a member of my wellness club at BeBoldNeverBeOld.com. For just $1, you're going to get 4 personal training videos from me, 1 each week, and I think they'll be really helpful for you. And then if you want to stay a member and stay with our Be Bold Never Be Old movement, it's very inexpensive. So go to BeBoldNeverBeOld.com. So thanks very much for watching. So hang on, Adam. I'm just going to end the recording, then we can still talk here. Okay. All right.